Here we are at the next day. What time is it here? 11:30. That's not too bad. I thought I slept in a little more. I did get kind of a bad sore throat the last couple days in New York. A lot of people got it. It was going around. And it seems like it's mostly gone, so that's good. Little touch of it, but that's not too bad. I was just thinking what a nice fella this guy Kale is that I'm staying with. Like, first night we got back, it's like 3 in the morning, we all just want to pass out. So you don't think about it much, just bam, sleep. Then yesterday, kind of fucked around for the day. And now, like the third day, it's kind of a long time, you know? It's nice of him to put me up like this. He grabbed me some Tim Hortons. For breakfast. Very hospitable fellow. So, of course, if he eats my skin and someone finds this tape, you know, you can put that in the article. Skin eater described as very friendly. But no, he's a good fella. Stayed up real late last night because I called Ian on Skype. She was like, hey, can you call me when you get the, you know, get back to Canada? Just let me know you're all right, you know, because it's like a southern thing. You know, she is from Florida. Southern thing, we call. So I was like, sure, let's do that. And true to form, we ended up kind of fighting for like, I don't know, half an hour. And it's just amazing that even now that we're in different countries and we've got quite a bit more perspective than we ever had, it's still very baffling. It's just like, how did this even happen? How did we start fighting? What's going on here? And then once it leveled out, we actually had a pretty nice conversation for a couple hours. End result, though, was that I did stay up quite late. And man, it's fucking miserable outside. Apparently the weather's been shitty this whole week, someone told me. But it's all fucking rainy and crappy and not sunny. That's too fucking... That sucks. That is unfortunate. It's just kind of cold and damp, and I hate the cold. Man, I hate it so bad. Hate it. But my plan today, head downtown. Just chill. Chill in Halifax. See if I can get a feel for this place a little. And then maybe tomorrow I'll head on home. We will see. See if we can get some of that ambient sound. Hear that rain? It's kind of coming and going outside, but it's raining pretty hard outside. Kale's giving me a ride down to downtown. He's probably going to drop me off at Strange Adventures, the comic store. I used to work at the Fredericton branch. So I'm all fucking packed up. I got my fucking recorder. I got a nice waterproof fucking jacket. Just gassing up the car. I'm going to be a podcast commando today. Going to go hit downtown Halifax. Come rain, come sleet, come hail. Today, rain is the order of the day. We'll see how this goes. Alright, this will be a test of my camera, because it's raining pretty hard. But I'm not going to try too hard to defend you, camera. Well, maybe a little more than this. See if you can survive the rain. So I just started my adventure here on Sackville Street. Sackville in Grafton. Home of Strange Adventures Comics. That was kind of cool. I just got to drop in on Cal. Cal's the guy that owns the place. I was glad he was in today. I wasn't sure if he would be. Because I worked at the Fredericton branch of the store for years, and he had no idea that I was coming back. So that was cool to just hop in, and we chatted about New York a bit and comic books and the different comic shops in New York. You know, we really just talk about comics. That's what we got in common. And this has also been bringing back memories in general lately of 2005, last time I was in Halifax. I was here with Erica, the girl I was dating at the time. And, like, I'm just remembering, like, you know, of course, we were at the comic store some, and there's the Tim Hortons on this corner that we went to, and I'm going to slip right around this corner, and there's, like, a bookstore. Big bookstore that I remember liking a lot. Going to check that out. Yeah, this is cool, man. Halifax. And, again, it's like the hookup where, you know, Cal's like, hey, I got a couch if you need to sleep on it or whatever. You know, I'm good. Cal's got me covered, but that's fucking cool. And if I do move here, he'll totally help me find a place. Squeaking brakes. I'm afraid I can't, you know, even though we're outside of New York, a lot of that noise won't be around anymore. But I can't do anything about the squeaking brakes, people. I'm sorry. That'll be everywhere I go. We're going to have to deal with that. The noise of the outside podcast. Oh, this is cool. It is a shame it's raining so hard, but this is nice. Oh, and there's a nice little coffee shop. And, like, Vancouver is so hilly downtown. This is where, I think it's called Citadel Hill up at the top. It was like a lookout for if boats came when they were being attacked, the harbor and all. Oh, this is neat. I really feel like if I move here, I'm definitely going to try to move somewhere right in this vicinity and just hang out down around here all the time. I still remember this little stretch right around the corner. This little United bookstore, and then there's the big bookstore, and there's like a candy shop just down here. Yeah, Freak Lunchbox. Oh, this is so great. This is like a time warp, man. That was just, I can't remember how long me and Erica were here. Not long, a few days, but a couple of days maybe even, just. And JWD Books, there's the big one. I'll swing back around to that. But yeah, really fun time. Really good trip. I don't know how much of it is just, did I already say this? Rose-colored glasses? Seems like when I think back, though, to most of the times me and Erica had, they were fun. Don't worry, Ian, that's going to happen with us, too. Just give it a little bit. Hey, here's a Granville Street. That's a big street in Vancouver, in case you're wondering why I thought that was significant. Oh, yeah, I like this. I like all these weird little streets and weird little blocks and steepness. And even the rain is not so bad. That's kind of Vancouver-y, too. So I was going to say, just various thoughts that came to mind this morning. Well, one of them was last night when I was talking to Ian. We had our, like, two-hour Skype-a-thon. I was saying how it seems like I was always quick to feel like I was too old for things. Like I remember when I was like 23, thinking like, 23, I'm so old. Like, I'm too old to go to punk shows now. And then when I was like 26, it's like, 26, how am I a projectionist? That's just way too old to have this job. And it's always this sense of feeling too old. And something has shifted in my head where I just don't really feel like that anymore. I'm 29 now. And now maybe it's that I'm looking at it instead of from the perspective of a very young person. I'm looking at it from the perspective of an older person. Like, when I'm 40, I'm going to look back. And it's not going to take that long until I'm 40, let's be honest. But when I look back, I'm going to think, 29? I was so young. So young when I was 29. So much potential. The world's so open. And it's nice to be able to see that right now. 29 is just not that old anymore. It's really not. And it's nice to not feel like I'm behind the curve or I'm wasting time or I'm not where I should be. Fuck it. I'm only 29. Who gives a fuck, you know? Wow, I'm down at the water already. Downtown's kind of small. This camera's going to get so whacked. It's getting so wet. I should duck in somewhere or something. This is ill-advised. Fuck. Whole bunch of water just kind of fell on me. Oh, look at you, camera, you poor motherfucker. You were soaked. That was fun to talk to Cal. Quite a pleasant number of bars and coffee shops around here. I'm liking it. Seems like a good, the coffee shops especially. I've always been more into those than the bars, but nice to have the little pubs. I'm not sure what this is. I'm walking past some kind of weird runway show thing, some chicks dolled up walking down this runway thing, but under a big tarp because it's motherfucking raining. This is quite confusing. I don't really know what the fuck is happening here. So one thing Ian said though about my this new view of being old is that maybe New York had something to do with that. And I'm going to give her this one. I think this is true. I think New York did have this positive effect on me, where if you live in more conventional places with the more conventional, you know, career arc, life arc, like 29, it's not at all unusual for people I knew back in school, like back in my hometown, to now have houses and have careers and have kids. I'm way behind the curve for not having that stuff, and that's just kind of what you feel all the time. That's the pressure that gets put on you, you know, whether deliberate or not. It just kind of permeates the place. Meanwhile, in New York, it's not at all weird for somebody to be in their 30s, maybe even their early 40s, and still just kind of slicking their hair back and putting on a leather jacket and hanging out on the town and working some whatever job, you know, bartending somewhere, and trying to do whatever pursue whatever artistic, whatever the fucks they want to do. And it's not at all looked upon weirdly. No one minds, no one thinks it's strange, it's totally fine. And I do like that. That is a very nice, you know, way to look at things. So, points to you, New York, on that one. I do think that helped. The other thought I had, not that that last one was so goddamn deep, but this is even less so, was just how whenever you're in a new house and a new place, part of the fun is trying to figure out how the shower works. There are some incredibly complex showers out there. I remember when I first moved in with Gay Andre in Vancouver, I couldn't even figure out how that shower worked. I had to take a bath the first day until I asked him, how does this, what the fuck, dude, how does this work? But that helped train me for this shower. The shower at Kale's place, man, holy shit. It really is like that game Myst. Trying to unlock things and trying little shit and fucking moving stuff around. This one has a left-right knob for water pressure. And on top of that left-right knob is a really small knob that has a very low turning vector, or whatever you would call it. Only moves left and right a little bit, and that's how you choose hot and cold. And I thought that was kind of interesting because, hold on, I'm going to go inside. Where am I? The Scotia Mall. Ah, there. There, poor camera, let me wipe you off. In the mall is very mallish. Not as nice, but a lot, you know, drier. I'll hang out here just for a sec. Maybe find a washroom. So yeah, it's because when you're in a shower, that's how it tends to go anyway, right? You're always just doing the nudging it left, nudging it right to try to change the temperature of water you want. So it's like they built that into this. They thought about it ahead of time, where this thing only can be nudged left and right very gradually to change between hot and cold. But then the final kick in the balls to get it to switch over to shower. And I'm thinking maybe this is what it was like at Andre's too, if I remember right, because this is just one of those like weirdly impossible to figure out things. Is you have to grip around the faucet, like where the water's coming out of the main faucet, and you have to pull that down, and that switches it over to the shower. And like, how is that not just some kind of crazy video game puzzle nonsense, you know, just like click everything until something works, combine all items until you get the desired effect. Totally weird, such weird design. But I finally figured it out, and then I felt like I had accomplished something. I had to get out of that mall. I've lost my zeal for malls. I give you credit for that too, New York, because I remember when I was last back in Fredericton, I distinctly remember being at the mall, the Regent Mall, and how it also just kind of reminded me of home, of good times, of, I don't know, of just the mall. There's a weird comforting sameness to it. And I remember I was telling that to my friend Matt, and he's like, "You fucking nuts? This is a fucking mall. It sucks balls." But like how there's like a communal understanding we all have of the mall and what it is, and it's a cultural touch point. Makes you feel less like you are, you know, even if you move from the West Coast to the East Coast. Doesn't feel like the move was so bad. It helps alleviate the culture shock, because the culture is essentially identical. I found that comforting at the time. Now, I do feel like maybe New York got into my DNA a little bit, where I don't like this kind of thing anymore. I don't like the mall aspect. I don't like the cookie-cutter places. I like the little stores. I like the little places, the little individual type shops. So yeah, I had to get out of there and get out into the air again. This little downtowny area of Halifax is really little. There's the ocean on that side. There's Citadel Hill right there. I can just like see it. It's like a block away. So the Metro Center must be right here. I was here for wrestling once. That was years ago, 2003, I think. First time Stone Cold and Bill Goldberg were ever in the same ring, not on TV, but after the Raw, that happened. But I don't really know how Halifax is laid out. Like, is this just the downtown? There was probably quite a bit more. I just needed to go figure out how it works and how it connects. But I like this little place. This seems like this could be an alright stomping grounds. You know, one thing I've noticed, incidentally, here in Halifax, is quite a few of the Middle Eastern type girls with the, it's not like a burqa, but you know, they got like the wrap around the head. You know, it's not covering the face or anything, but it seems like it has some kind of cultural significance. It's not just a stylistic choice. And yet they're like smoking hot girls. And it seems like such a weird mix of whatever, in whatever capacity that it relates to that grand ancient tradition of total misogyny, along with smoking hotness of the modern era. Weird, weird and cool. You know, I wonder what this place is going to be like in the winter. I mean, it's almost unfair to ask. Of course, everything in Canada is a nightmare in the winter. I could see this being particularly rough, particularly tricky terrain. You know, that store, Freak Lunchbox. First off, I think that's a really great name for a store. That makes me remember how I used to really want to work at a candy store. And this seems kind of weird when I think back. I used to really think, like, I'd love to work in that fucking Freak Lunchbox place. And then I moved out to, when I moved to Vancouver, what's this? Big square? Wonder what this place is called. It's starting to rain really fucking hard, man. Where am I? You are here. Barrington Street, Argyle, Brunswick. Yeah, all this stuff. It's pretty little, this little area. Okay, here's the larger map. Downtown area in large. So I guess that's it, right? That's downtown. Point Pleasant Park. I think that's over near where the Superstore is. That direction. Dutch Village, McKay Bridge, Dartmouth. That's where Cal lives. Bedford Highway. Huh. Yeah, so when I got to Vancouver, I did apply to every candy store that I saw. You know, just a random resume drop-off. Those never work. But I was like, well, fuck it, why not? I'm walking by, here's a resume. Now that I think about it, this seems kind of weird. Like, Would I really want to work at a candy store? Why would I? What's the point of that? What's the fucking appeal? Very strange. But I just didn't even question it back. You know, it wasn't like that was so long ago, 5 years ago, when I was like, that'd be the best, man. And just presuming that everyone else understood, like, oh, I know, right, of course. Working at a candy store. Weird. Maybe I'll go stop in that candy store and it'll fucking rejuvenate my understanding of why I just felt I needed to be surrounded by candy at all times. Alright, I just stopped in the candy store. I was almost gonna buy some candy, but I felt like I was pushing it too hard. Oh, here's Extreme Pita. Wait, one of those in my hometown too. I remember I stopped at this very Extreme Pita last time I was here. And I always just thought Extreme Pita was such a fucking dumb name for a pita place, because none of their pitas are particularly extreme. Like, if you could get a fucking, you know, yeah, I'll have my pita with blasting caps and broken glass and shit, please. That'd be a pretty fucking extreme pita. I'd give you that one. That's not how it works. So, yeah, I stopped in the candy place. And, yeah, I was going to buy some candy, but almost just because I felt sort of honor-bound. Like, maybe if I'm in here, I should buy some candy. But I was only in there for a fucking minute or two. And I just, I don't know, I could eat candy. Sure, I could. It took a long time for me to lose my sweet tooth. But, you know, like right now I'm thinking, yeah, I could eat a box of Nerds, but I just don't need that, man. You know, I just don't. My palate has started to change. It's all this less fucking sugar in my coffee, man. It's the start of me going down. It's weird and unnatural. This is just fun, man. I'm glad I do this podcast. Like, it would be fun to hang out in the city anyway, but it's just extra fun that I like doing a show also. I'm actually listening to Smodcast while I do this, and I'm just thinking about different people with their different talents. Because Smodcast, that's Kevin Smith's podcast. It's a very good podcast. He has got a gift for gab. I mean, that's essentially what he does. His movies, the strength of them is the dialogue, is people talking. He does those Q&As. He's playing Carnegie Hall. It's like, just left New York. I would have gone to that. He did do a Q&A in Vancouver. I should have gone to. I didn't. The tickets sort of seemed a little expensive, but in hindsight. Because basically all he does is like Q&As, you know, fans ask him questions and he answers. But each question is like a launch-off point for him to tell generally a 30, 40-minute long story or something. That's to the point where you forget there was someone who even asked the question until at the end of his long, hilarious tale. He'll thank the person, and they say, well, thank you. And you're like, oh, right, that guy asked that question half an hour ago. He's really good at it, and he's an endless fountain of different stories. Kind of things like maybe he doesn't think even are that interesting. It's just his day-to-day, things that happen while he's working on movies and stuff. But it just is interesting to people, you know? You just need someone to ask, someone to get the ball rolling. Or he has a book. I don't know. I should read it. I should give it a try. It's called My Boring Ass Life, and it's just a collection of his blog posts. I'm just the kind of minutia of his life, but it builds up into something interesting. And Smodcast is podcast. It's essentially, it's Kevin Smith's baby, but he's got Scott Mosier there too. And Scott Mosier is like, almost like the sounding board. He's very handy to have there, but he's like, he greases the wheels. And I was thinking that I think this podcast is similar. Not at all to, I mean, obviously Smodcast gets a zillion billion downloads and I get not as many. It was cool though, that last week in New York. I mean, granted, of course, that's all Keith and the Girl fans that are into the show enough to come down to New York for Keith's show. And the majority of people that are interested in stuff that I do at this point are, of course, also Keith and the Girl fans, because that's, you know, what I've been doing this past year. It's being a part of their shit. But I was surprised how many people... Excuse me. I was surprised how many people told me they listened to this show. It was very nice to hear. And, I don't know, I really do. I find it entertaining, too. Something about this format. If it was just music, it wouldn't be as good. If it was just talking, it wouldn't be as good. Something about it. I think I hit on something all right that I like. I just downloaded Ham Radio 20, Canadian Music and an American Girl. And it's like a combo attack of, it just happens to have, now that I'm back in Canada, I'm in a Canadian mood. It's like, yeah, I want to hear those songs again. It's just the kind of playlist I want to hear. But I'm also curious to listen back to My Belly Aching about that time when I was first trying to get Ian to like me. You know, let's go revisit that now that it's been a year. Let's see how that works out, how that sounds. Let's see what I can learn from myself by eating my own shit, by processing my own feedback. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, anyway, I don't know. Just that I guess I was saying that the way Kevin Smith does his show, him and Moj, this is the way that works best for me. It's like how even on like Keith and the Girl, I always like their shows best generally when it's just Keith and Hemda. The guests, you know, there's a lot of good guests and a lot of good moments have come from guests, but it hurts the purity of it. It's kind of the same with this show. I really like doing shows with my friends, but I've slowed it down a little bit. I'm less willing to ask someone to contribute to the shows lately, I think, or to do a show with me. Because I just don't think they're as good. I just don't enjoy listening back to them as much. They're not as important a chronicle of my life. That being said, when I get home, I'm going to do... actually, of all the people, I listen back to the shows me and Brad do probably the most times. I like them, although we tend to talk. And talk and talk. To a fault, if anything. But actually, I don't know, I'm starting to think I should lean this show a little bit less toward music. I still like the music, but we'll see. It's turning into more of a travel log than a music show. But yeah, I'm going to do shows with my friend Matt. I never did one with my friend Chris. Should do that shit. And my friend Stefan, I haven't talked to him forever. Going to do a show with him. My friend Terry, also I haven't talked to him for like a decade. Definitely going to do a show with him. But even those, I think I'm going to try to steer more toward instead of us sitting around at home doing shows. Because maybe that's one of the things. Every time I do a show with someone else, it tends to be in a static environment. But when me and Ian did shows, we were out and about all the time. Go to the museum, go wherever, fucking be out in the world. The only problem is it does make it much harder to do the music side of things. Like, the shows are always better if I am going to play a specific song. And then I do, in fact, listen to the song. You know, it sparks more thoughts and more comments and things rather than just tossing the song in. But that is hard to do out and about. It's almost a shame we're outside of the age of the ghetto blaster. We could just blast, walk through the ghetto and blast our tunes. But I think that could be cool. Walk around Fredericton, the little tiny downtown in Fredericton, maybe the second cup coffee shop, whatever. But yeah, I was even having trouble with that when Matt and Brad were in New York. I did shows with each of them, and they both had sound problems in various ways. But me and Ian kind of got this down. It's not really so hard to do a two-person show out in the world. Just point the camera at who's talking. Not so tough. So yeah, I'm going to try to keep this show out in the world more. Because it's cool that way.
Spamming the conscience.
said, I was starting to get a little hungry, but I'm going to loop around to the bookstore first, then go to the, I don't know, maybe I'll go to Extreme Pita, see if I can get someone to throw up in a fucking pita shell for me. Yeah, this bookstore, it's, I guess that was my 2003 trip here, was the first time I ever heard of bathroom readers. They're just these huge books full of little factoids and interesting little stories that are short enough that you can read them in the bathroom. And I was obsessed with them. I thought it was the greatest thing. I bought a whole ton of them and just read them all the time, like a normal book. Because outside of their toilet puns, you know, they usually have an intro or something that's just, like, embarrassingly stupid. The actual book is very informative and interesting. It's like just like little Wikipedia pages, essentially. They just pick a bunch of weird shit for you to learn about. Lord knows if any of it stuck, but, man, I felt like I was getting a university education that summer, just reading all those fucking things. A university education in nonsense, of course, in stupid pop culture-y shit, but that is what I like. That's what I find entertaining. I was talking to Ian about that, too, last night, about our different reactions, you know, to different types of culture, how, you know, paintings and museums and all that type of thing, plays, they just don't affect me. They just don't, they never get me, you know, so I can't argue that they do affect some people, and there you go, good on you, but they just don't for me. And meanwhile, for me, it really is the pop culture. Pop culture gets me the most. Like, on the drive home, me and Kale talking about Firefly. Shocking to me how much, I mean, that show came out in 2002 or 2003. Shocking to me how much, how relevant it still seems and how much of an effect it can still have on me. When, at the end of the day, it's, I mean, it's just an action-adventure show with some jokes thrown in. You know, that really is it. That's what it is. It just would be so easy for someone to watch it and just not click at all. But that's what works for me. All right, let's go to the bookstore. Bookstore ho! This bookstore is so cool. It's just like two floors of just rows of books and all stacked up. And it's all just like crazy and a mess, but it's awesome. Reminds me of the Owl's Nest back in Fredericton. But I know it's been said a million times, but there are way too many For Dummies books. I just saw Italy for Dummies. I mean, I understand the concept, you know, for technical stuff. You want to make sure that you're starting at the ground floor. They're not going to start you ahead of where you're ready to be. And I think that's the appeal of the For Dummies thing, is you know for sure this is starting you from step one. We're not going to skip any steps. You're not going to feel stupid reading this. But Italy? What? Does that even make sense? The Complete Idiot's Guide to the American Revolution. Come on, that's just ridiculous. You know, I do remember back when I was a teenager, still in high school, when I got really into Ayn Rand books. And then after that, Nathaniel Brandon's books about psychology. Most of them I got from like big used bookstores like this, or from the Owl's Nest, really. Or sometimes I remember I found The Virtue of Selfishness, I think, from like a library book sale. Yeah, and it was like 50 cents. I was like, wow, amazing, this book that I'm so just super excited to read. This author that opened up all this stuff for me. And here it is for 50 cents. So cool. I loved finding that shit.
I'm definitely gonna have to grab something to eat. I'm starting to wind down. I had a couple of, like, pithy insights I was gonna make, and now I'm trying to remember what they were. Oh, well, I know one of them was the library in Fredericton in my hometown. I just saw a sign in there for, you know, ask us about our fancy first editions of stuff. There was a first edition there of Atlas Shrugged, my favorite book at my library. In really good condition from 1957, when it was dedicated to her husband and to Nathaniel Brandon, who she was actually having an affair with at the time. And then later, see, Ayn Rand, the author, she was a very old lady. Much older than him, like a 20-year difference. But, you know, wicked smart, with the searchlight eyeballs. And he was, as a young man, very influenced and impressed by her. And they fell into this weird, I don't know, it almost wasn't like an affair necessarily, because both of their significant others were aware, you know? Ian and Nathaniel were like, hey, husband and wife, we're gonna do this. And it's kind of like, whether you like it or not, you know, but they sort of got everyone to agree to it, but it's still a very weird, awkward situation. So anyway, then Nathaniel gets divorced from his wife and finds another girl his own age, or closer to, a younger woman, and has to break things off with Ayn Rand. And she took it real bad. Pretty much never talked to him again. And removed his name from the dedication. So I thought it was cool that that old first edition still had his name in it. And I was really, really tempted to steal it before I moved to Vancouver. But I mean, in the end, it's just an artifact. What does it really mean? So what if I have a first edition of this book, you know? Particularly one that I stole from the library. I would never feel extremely good about that. Surely I could just get one online if I wanted it so goddamn bad. Pay a few bones. But I had it all figured out of how I could, like, slide it out the window and it would get past the sensors. And anyway, I didn't. I left it there. It might still be there. Maybe I'll check when I get home. Let's toss in another song, a specific song. Pretty much the only thing that's been on my little tiny 1 gig MP3 player. Just been tossing on podcasts and stuff, trying to fill it up for this ride home. But Brody from the Distillers, Spinneret, their EP, their little 4-song EP, I played a song from it before on the show I did with Julio. And it's pretty much the only thing that's been on this MP3 player, just these little 4 songs. So I'll listen to a podcast or whatever, and then it'll hit that, and it's such a nice little easy listen that I just let it roll through. And I like the third track from it, which I'm afraid I do not recall the name of right now, but this is how I was sort of describing this as, like, her, Brody's version of the Gwen Stefani thing, where Gwen Stefani went from cool rockin' chick to dopey pop star. Except it's one step removed for Brody, where Brody goes from super cool punk chick to rock chick, you know? She's still pretty far removed from what happened to poor old Gwen. But this one song, this is very sort of popish. This is a very weird way for her to sing. Very subdued, relaxed song. And yeah, it's not like a classic for all time, but it's just good. I've been listening to it for a couple of weeks now. This is the only thing that's been on here, and I still like this song. So let's listen to some Spinneret while I go get something to eat.
Visionary hope. Oh, I need
Just had some dinner at Momoya Japanese Cuisine. Across from the Sam the Record Man that is surely closed. But yeah, because this is different than the other sushi place I went to. Last time I was in Halifax, it was further down the street. And I remember that cross-Canada trip me and Erica took, where we had pretty much like just discovered sushi that year out in Vancouver, because it's all over the place and it's very affordable and it's delicious. And we were like a little bit worried, because sushi, Japanese food, it was my favorite food at the time. So we were like a little bit worried, like how are we going to cover our sushi jones, you know, once we leave Vancouver. So in London, Ontario, we managed to get some sushi at their little, the market there. It wasn't super great, but it was all right. It did the job. And then in my hometown, fucking forget about it. Fredericton, there was nothing. There was this one place we ended up going to, the Praying Mantis Lotus Root. I don't know what the fuck, it's closed now. And the closest it had kind of like these Mackey rolls, but they were weird shit. Like, one of them was tuna and dill, but it wasn't even raw tuna. It was like cooked tuna and this dill flavoring. Way too much dill. Just very weird. What a weird flavored thing. So I'd hardly even counted, but I guess it was better than nothing. And then when we were out here in Halifax, we went to this other place. And it was a little expensive, just like this one today was kind of pricey too. In New York, sushi kind of went up and down. It was medium expensive. Vancouver, it's very affordable. But it was weird too, after like every single place, pretty much everywhere you go in New York, busy, 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 everything's crowded. Here, it could just be that it's rainy out, it's still pretty miserable out, so maybe there's just not as many people, but there was nobody in that joint. I sat there for 15, 20 minutes, not a single soul came in, it was just me. Definitely a different vibe to the East Coast. I'm walking across the walkway thing that goes across the highway. It's like the tube in the sky. You can't see this because it's audio, but it's pretty cool, man. Take my word for it. I just caught a little whiff of sea smell, sort of the sea salt. It brought to mind thoughts of lobster, because it didn't actually smell like lobster, just this is associated smells with lobster. I saw a fancy pants coffee place that wasn't a Starbucks, and oh shit, that rain is really getting tough. Anyway, hopped in this place, got a fancy cafe mocha that was like $4.65, just gave it $5. Didn't even blink. It's amazing how easy you get used to this horseshit coffee culture. And I mean, it takes a long time to make. It was complicated. When I used to be a barista, it is practically like being a bartender, really. But I really got to get like an espresso machine for home. I got to save money on all this stupid shit, make my own little drinks. So I really think coffee is supposed to have chocolate. It, like, requires chocolate. Oh, this is so weird, though. It's like, now that I see the Tim Hortons, I would almost prefer that. But, I mean, I got this one now. Anyway, I got my fancy $5 coffee for my walk along the boardwalk. Oh, yeah, so my coffee progression. I remember I never went into Starbucks ever in my life, even though they're all over the place in Vancouver, till my friend Lars came to visit, and we went in one just for a coffee. Nothing special. Just for the coffee. I really didn't like coffee, even. Tim Hortons sometimes. But then I got the job at Blends, the coffee shop, and, you know, started to get to like all of this stuff. But it wasn't even while I worked there so much. It was after I left I really got into it. And it seemed like it's too bad. I had access to all this fancy, expensive crap. And then as soon as I lost access, that's when I wanted it back again. But then I did go back to that job briefly, and ooh, don't go back to menial jobs. It's a bad move. Keep on moving. Keep swimming like a shark. And yeah, at this point, I don't know, I just love mochas, man. Iced, fucking non-iced, whatever. Vietnamese coffee's really good, but yeah, $5 for a coffee. Whew, such a waste of money, man. Such a waste of money. Such a ludicrous waste of money. But whatever, man, I'm traveling. I'm still on, like, vacay, man. Not home yet. But when I do get home, I have to get some kind of job for the summer, part-time or something, just to support horse shit like this. Which I still maintain. If you're feeling the crunch, you're feeling the economy crunch, there's things you can do. This is one of them. Nobody needs a $5 drink. Nobody. But I got one, so now I'm gonna turn this off and drink it. Walk along the fucking pier and get all soaked.
I only wanted what everyone wanted since bras started burning up ribs in the 60s. Favors are flying, faces are falling, and all I desire is to never be waiting. If that's a crime. everybody roll the dice. It's a lottery, baby. Everybody roll the dice.
You know, every homeless beggar guy I've seen today, which has only been two, and both very able-looking young men, but they both had Tim Hortons cups. That's funny! Huh. Just literally 10 seconds after saying that, I just saw the third one. It was a two-hour break between the first two. This guy was old. So, I don't know, I'll give him that, but he also had a Tim Hortons cup, older and rattier than the first two. Maybe the first Tim Hortons cup that he ever got, the same one he's been using since he was a child. He rolled up the rim and he did not win. That's funny to Canadians. Okay, I think I got it more figured out. Citadel Hill, the big hill, that's not the end of downtown, but behind it, downtown keeps on going. And that's more of like the residential-y looking kind of part. So I suspect if I was to live here, that would be the vicinity where I'd want to live. That's kind of like the downtown Fredericton, the kind of house I grew up in, just all the big old houses. That's the kind of shit that I like. That's the warm, ensconcing feel of down home East Coast Canada. Not the weird suburbs, not the crazy strip malls, just the old balls niceness. So I'm walking through this one part of Halifax that not too far off the main strip, but just immediately all the houses, it's exactly like Fredericton but bigger. All of the houses are really old, just like I was talking about, just old big houses, real close together, no yards or lawns at all. And occasionally there's like a new one that's got like, you know, the plastic looking fake weather stripping, and those are awful. I like the old ones with the, you know, fading colors and perhaps some paint coming off. And that reminds me, my aunt Caroline bought this house down the street from my parents' house. It was the worst looking house I ever saw in my life when they bought it, and it's gorgeous now. I wonder how much that cost them to fix up. But I'm getting this vision, this weird vision in my head of being in one of these houses. My big house, preferably more or less by myself. Maybe I got a couple cool roommates or something. Certainly I don't want to sublet with like a family or any of that horseshit. Just some nice easygoing folk. And I don't have very much furniture. There's hardwood floors, of course. And even though it's cold outside, I got the heat pumping inside and I'm not wearing socks. I got bare feet. I maybe got a computer set up somewhere in a big empty living room with like maybe a couch in the corner or a chair or something. Just seems cool. Yeah, that's a weird house. That one looks neat. I even used to, way back when I was still in high school, I was working on this book that pieces of it are still on my website. But it was very scattered. It was all over the place. Fiction, nonfiction, all kinds of weird things. And it was so weird. I had this one character, this guy named Frank. Frank and Fiona? And then what was the other girl? The one girl moved away, and then there was another one named... Shit, it was like named after a girl who I had a crush on in high school, and now I can't remember her name. It started with a K, I believe. It was such a weird fledgling attempt at writing. Like, I just struggled on that thing, and it never ended up being very long, and it all moved way too fast. And it had something I didn't notice at first. I think Brad pointed it out to me. Kind of a lot of so-and-so will sit at his desk. It's about a kid in high school. and think, oh, I should do this, I should do that, I should have said this, but he's just thinking it. It's like, it's a fucking book, man. You can just do it. Do it, man. What a weird story. Not really enough in there to salvage, I don't think. I'm sure I've still got it somewhere. But yeah, the first half of the little story, the dude was in school, and then the second half, he just got a job, I believe, as a dishwasher. I don't know why the dishwasher motif keeps popping up again. This book I'm working on now, this novel about a punk kid in Tokyo, he's a dishwasher too. But I just kind of envisioned this house in downtown Fredericton that this dude lived in while he did his crappy dishwashing job. I should really dig up that story and read it, just for the hell of it. I would also do this thing where I wrote it in such fits and starts, like just forcing it out of me, that I would use the characters' names way too much, you know? Like, you can start off with, Frank did this, that, and the other thing, and then for the rest of that segment, you can just say, he did this, he did that. But I would break and come back and then write Frank again, because to me, I was starting to write again. And I didn't really even read it back enough to get that sorted out. Just because, to this day, I'm still not a good writer in the sense of not terrible workflow, terrible output, just so hard for me to sit down and write stuff. It could never be a career thing for me because I would just way overthink it and just grind down to a halt. And I did that to an absurd degree with that. But you know, it's like anything. It's like building a muscle. Anyway, I should go dig up that story and read it again just for the fuck of it. But it was, I don't know, sort of a lot more just random feelings about stuff rather than actual events transpiring. That story, Black Coffee, that's up right now that Ian read on my website, was somewhat similar. It comes together enough, you know? It has enough of a resolution, but I'm a big fan of structure in stories. And it didn't really have enough, I don't think, to be like a legit thing. Maybe to be like a semi-fancy pants part of an anthology or something. But I'm not at all opposed to the three-act structure. The climax, denouement, all that. I think you gotta have a good reason to break that pattern. Oh, funny, I'm just walking by a little bookstore. It's closed right now, but just saw Irving Welsh's Trainspotting novel in the window. See, that's a novel, for instance, that I think it's one of those cases where the movie is better. More streamlined, more connected to a normal narrative structure. The story, the book is all over the place. Still an interesting read if you're obsessed with the movie, as I am. But without the movie, it doesn't work so well. And I could never get into any of Irvin Welsh's other books. Oh, yeah. So, that little, I don't know, Frank, though. It's weird. My aspirations were not huge, even back then. I guess I just wanted to live in a big old house across the street in downtown Fredericton. Wouldn't really have been that hard to do. But I didn't. I stayed at my parents' house for quite a while and just worked at the comic store. When I was talking to Ian last night, it was funny kind of tracing back things that happened to me in my life. We were just telling each other little stories about stuff. And like the fact that I didn't have a girlfriend when I was like 22, 23 even. No girlfriend, never gotten laid. Disasterville, just disaster. I was like, my God, what's happening? How did my life get like this? I'm just like, blah, freaking out. Then it's like the reverse, where instead of kids getting all drunk and trying drugs and getting all crazy, I had the reverse problem. I was like stuck in a turtle shell. I wasn't doing anything. Then I moved to Vancouver, got a job at a coffee shop. Biggity bam, started dating a girl from the coffee shop. It's not fucking brain science. It's not rocket surgery. All you gotta do is go to school or get a job or whatever. Just interact with people in a normal way and your life becomes normal. That easy. Just took me a little while to shake my shell shock after high school, get my ass in gear. Probably could have used a little shove in that capacity, but doesn't matter now, it's all good. It's all good now. Even that, I don't know, I was like, once I finally moved out to Vancouver and got my first girlfriend, I was like, oh good. Now that I've got all these experiences under my belt, kind of like, you remember the 40-year-old virgin when Steve Carell is like explaining about the time he felt up a girl and describing what a breast feels like and just weird shit like a bag of sand, wet sand or something, and they're all like, what? And then he started to piece together that he'd never done it. I was like, alright, now that I've had this girlfriend, it's I never have to admit to anyone ever again that my life didn't follow the normal trajectory of growth and development. No one ever has to know. Because I was still embarrassed about it. It is somewhat embarrassing, you know? 23, that's pretty old. Pretty old to get your first girlfriend.
But why lie about it? What do I care? Everybody's got their problems. Everybody's got their weirdness. I don't know, man, my friend Ray, he first got laid when he was like 12 or something. He was the other end of the spectrum. We all got our weird, and I mean, it certainly wasn't great, you know? I mean, he's got his own weird things that happened in his life. Everybody's life was all fucked, so who cares? Who gives a fuck? What's the big problem? I don't know, I think it was funny talking to intern Mike about this kind of stuff. You know, because he's all like, oh man, I'm already 19, pretty soon I'll be like 20, and oh, I don't have a girlfriend. I was like, don't worry, buddy. You got a long ways to go before you break my record. And I mean, you know, you run into people all the time that just kind of whatever happened in their lives, they just never did date and never got on that wagon and weird basement dwellers for their whole lives. I don't know how I fucking fell into that. I was an attic dweller, but I'm not such an unusual dude. I mean, sometimes it's obvious. You see somebody and you're like, well, that guy's a weirdo. Too bad for him. But no, it's just the meek shall not inherit the earth. I'll tell you that. The meek inherit nothing. The meek sit back and everything passes them by. Did I have a point? I don't know. I guess my point was, modest desires. I was thinking how, really, in some ways, that initial view of just having the room. I mean, I still got it. Just having a room somewhere in a house, in an old house. You know, I would like some space. I'm willing to throw down some cash for that. But that's one reason why I'm not so worried about not having the career and not having the security and not having the all that, you know, pension plans and retirement funds. First off, it's like, I mean, I saw how my parents had to go to law school for years. My mom became a teacher first and then a lawyer, lots of school. And then they slaved away for 30 years. And yeah, they got money. They're doing all right. They got a lot of property. Hopefully everything will be fine because I know I won't be supporting them. So there's the first thing. I didn't want to go through all the school. I didn't want to go through the 30 years of working at some job that I don't really want to do. So there's problem number one. And problem number two is just, it just is the nature of how things have changed. How, like, Generation X was the first generation to make less money when you count for inflation than their parents, you know? The boom finally slowed. And, I mean, right now we're in this recession, which I'm no economist. I don't have any actual data to back this up. This is purely conjecture on my part, but I don't think this is going to end. I think this is the global leveling, you know? I really think people are just way overextended with the money they spend and how they're constantly in debt and they just take it for granted that they should be able to have these weird plasma TVs and fancy pants phone plans and just all kinds of shit that they, you know, maybe you shouldn't have all that. Maybe now you won't have all that and maybe it's not gonna get better. You know, but at the same time, technology does keep continuing and everything does get cheaper and better and easier. But you're going to have to live behind the curve. Maybe you're not going to be able to have everything right away. Maybe you're going to have to be a few years behind, and you can still live pretty fucking well. I would still much rather live now, during this quote-unquote recession, than any other point in history, than last year, you know? Things are better this year than they were last year. From a tech standpoint, an overall global human standpoint. So yeah, the point is I'm not really looking to have that much stuff. I do not desire things that are extremely far outside of my reach. And I think that makes a big difference. I think that makes it a lot less stressful. You know, of like, my future, whatever. It's unfortunate that I might still have to have a job when I'm very, very old. That would be none cool, but you know, whatever. Savings get eaten up by inflation anyway. What's all that money you saved really going to be worth in 30 years? Hey, I'm not trying to convince you, though. If anything, I'm just trying to make myself feel better.
Bye. can resist but to laugh at it.
Just got myself one of those little teeny tiny bottles of Coke, 237 milliliters, because I find them cute, and I don't want to pee my pants by drinking tons of shit. Man, it's insane the hugeness of stuff. We were at a Wendy's in Bangor on the way home, and the way they make the signs for the combos, the small looks small, but you get that cup, and it's like, Jesus, it must be 16 ounces at least. It's fucking huge, man. And then it goes up two sizes from that, like the super fatso size where they gotta make the bottom of the cup suddenly get way smaller just so it'll fit in a cup holder in a fucking car. Ridiculous. But I also got me some Lay's ketchup chips. You don't have that shit, do you, America? You can't even fathom what it tastes like. It don't really taste like ketchup. It don't really taste like tomatoes. I don't know what the fuck to tell you. Ketchup chips, a staple of Canada. Something I ain't had in a good long time. You know, I do love these little tiny bottles of Coke. It's like just the right size. But I just realized I describe this as a cute bottle. I'm usually very resistant of terms like that. It's weird that it just slipped out of me, but it really is. That's all girls mean when they say something is cute. It just means that it's small. Little pairs of shoes, they're cute. Little whatevers. I know this is not like the most fucking brilliant point I ever made, but pay attention next time someone says something's cute. It's just little. I just passed a homeless-y guy standing on the corner wearing a garbage bag. Wearing a garbage bag with arms cut in the holes because it's rainy today. So, I don't know. I'm sure I'm just whatever. Back in Canada, feeling susceptible. Because all the other homeless-y dudes today, I was like, whatever, but I gave that dude a 5. Fuck it. He started explaining whatever his bad day was. Maybe that almost would have been better. I don't know. It's like, does he just feel he has to give me the why he's having such a bad day? So that I'll stop and help him out. I kind of cut him off anyway. He's like, oh, I've been having a bad day. And he's got like the scabs on the face. You know, that's definitely some kind of methy thing or whatever. But yeah, I was like, I'm sure you are having a terrible day. Here's $5. Just come on, here you go. You know, I don't really need to hear your homeless sob story, but whatever. The first homeless guy that I helped back in Canada, sorry, other homeless guys, that guy got your chair. I do remember, I mean, Vancouver killed me of my giving change to bums pretty fast. And New York especially. Vancouver has more bums, but I found them more sympathetic than New York ones. But I remember the first time I went to Montreal, I gave a lot of money to homeless people because I never really saw homeless people before in any sort of numbers, and it's like, whoa, freaky. And then I was working at the coffee shop on Christmas Eve one year, or New Year's Eve? Christmas Eve, I think. And I remember on my way just down Granville, from Davie up to the Granville SkyTrain, I gave out, Jesus, probably over $20 just to everybody I passed. Yeah, here you go, money, money, money. It's fucking Christmas. I was in a good mood. Although I guess I kind of give money to homeless people, sort of. It depends. That guy, I pulled out the wallet. Usually, though, that's the rule. Because, I mean, it's raining and he's wearing a fucking plastic bag. Here's a guy, though. He's just going from car to car. Yeah, there's quite a number of homeless lately I'm running into. Oh shit, here's a bridge. And that's where I realized that I'm lost. I don't quite know where to go. I certainly don't want to cross no bridges. Fuck. Which way do I go to get back downtown? Anyway, what was I just going to say? What was I just going to say? Shit, see, I think I'm supposed to go left from here, but I don't know. Or right, I mean. Oh, fuck me, I'll try it. Homeless dudes giving away money. Vancouver. Oh yeah, usually that's my thing, is I just won't take out my wallet. If I happen to have change in my pocket, which happens more often in Canada than it did in the States because we have more change. But I do also try not to give away loonies and toonies. You know, if I got something less than $1, okay, and it's right in my pocket, there you go. But I fucked it up a lot of times where, you know, you reach in and then you pull your hand out and, and there's $1 or $2. That's even worse. But, yeah, no, you can't take it back once you slapped it in his palm. I've had a couple regrets, though. Like, oh, I gave that guy $3. Fuck, I didn't mean to do that. Sweet, I made it back to the main hub of downtown Halifax. It's a little worried I was lost there for a sec, back at Station Square. So it's like 6 o'clock. I think I started wandering around at about noon. I think that's plenty. I've been rained on a lot. Time to go the fuck home, take a shower, change these motherfucking clothes. Gotta find me a bus. I'm just gonna record a little audio clip, don't mind me. As I'm in the comic store right now, asking Cal how to catch the bus that I need to go back, and I just love all those little comic store things that I miss hearing. Like, this guy got a comic out of the bargain box, and he's like, I don't even really like Daredevil, but it's only $3, and he connects in with everything, and that's fantastic. I miss that stuff. All right, Cal got me all the stuff I probably should have got before I left. A little map of the area, you know, the bus departure times, and there's definitely no question if I was to move here, I'm gonna need to hook myself up with a house within walking distance, because this particular bus, the number 4, once an hour. That's such bullshit. One every hour. Come on. Man, be cool. And Kale just sent me a random text message of, hey, by the way, there's been stabbings in Halifax lately, so, you know, stay out of the bad areas. Like I fucking know what the bad areas are. What does that even mean? Anyway, after fucking the big New York, I don't think I'm too worried about Halifax. Please, I say before I get fucking stabbed. Cal made a good point, though, about Halifax, that in New Brunswick, things get kind of pulled away from Fredericton, you know, because there's the bigger cities. There's Moncton and St. John. Like when I saw George Carlin, that was in St. John. When I saw Guns N' Roses, that was in St. John. But, fucking Tim Hortons is closed too. Everything is fucking closed in this town. It's only fucking 6 o'clock or like 7 o'clock now. Come on, fuck you guys. I just need somewhere to pee. Maybe get something to eat. Yeah, downtown is dying. It's just falling asleep. Yeah, places though, and the extreme pita I was finally gonna go to, and it's just closed. Just a note on the sign. Sorry, had to close due to emergency. Oh, Radiohead cover band. Oh, I missed them. It's a little sign. It's too bad. That would be cool, man. I'd go to a Radiohead cover band. Ladies free till 1 a.m. every Friday. what the fuck was I just saying? Yeah, extreme pita just as this sign. Had to close due to emergency. I think that's funny. That's sort of a smaller town thing, too. Like, you're gonna figure out some way to keep your place open in a bigger setting, a bigger city. Alright, so, in summary, Cal's a good guy. I got all my shit. Time for me to go sort out my travel.
Jumped out for it.
Whew, it is pretty fucking late now. What the fuck time is it here? The beacon of the Swiss Chalet. Alright, so I got my Cal hookup. Jesus Christ, it's 9:17. Alright. So thanks to all the shit Cal printed off for me, I did find out where the bus is supposed to go and waited around and then caught the bus and then rode the bus. And I recognized, it wasn't as long of a ride as I expected it to be, a little while, and then I recognized that Tim Hortons, where I had my first Tim Hortons coffee yesterday, and where I got my fingerless gloves. And I guess if I had known how this bus route was going to work, I would have just hopped off there and walked from there. But then the bus diverged off on this weird course, and I didn't know where the fuck it was going. And I had to figure, like, it's just, I don't know, I presumed it would, I didn't realize, like, this stop by my house, there's a downtown stop here, but there is no return. It takes a loop, you know? So I had to wait for the bus to go all the way around this loop out in the middle of nowhere. And it's just somewhat disconcerting, because all of a sudden I'm not heading toward a destination, I'm heading away from the destination. And it's very dark out now, and I'm exhausted, and I am so wet. My fucking money is wet, my wallet's wet, my feet are soaked, everything is just wet. And I just noticed my face changing. I mean, I couldn't see my own face, but I could feel my expression just like, there's only like three people on the bus at this point, just like, worry face. Like, what's going on here? Like some kind of fucking monkey face, concerned animal face. And even though I was sure it would be no big deal, in worst case scenario, I mean, I can just go ask the bus driver and she's gonna help sort me out. But I'm feeling, you know, it's been a long day. No one else can see me. I'm just sitting in the bus. I just let it out. I just let my weird concerned face stare out the window, my brow furrowed, concerned about where this fucking bus was going. But then I saw, well, then it turns out I was actually at the stop I'm supposed to get off at, and just because of the way this bus route works, you know, it stops intermittently, and well, I'll just hold off for like 3 minutes to keep itself on schedule. I was at the stop I was supposed to get off at, and I didn't know, just sitting there waiting. Then as soon as it started again, I was like, oh shit, there's the gross Swiss Chalet from yesterday. They kicked off all of this fucking Halifax shindig. So I got off at the next stop, and now I'm backtracking on foot, and soon I should be back at Kale's place, and I can fucking relax. So, that was a nice little tour of Halifax. I unfortunately did not get to hang out with Allison or Josh, the animator, who did, on Keith's third DVD, he did the Brumsky animation. Keith and the girl all over the place. He's got the retards animation and the powdering the breasts. The guy's fantastic. Anyway, he lives in this area. But he was unfortunately not free. I didn't get to hang out with him. So I think tomorrow, time for me to go home, check out buses home, see how that all works. Get my ass back to Fredericton. Maybe I'll think of some more reasons to crack open this fucking recorder again, but I think that might be it. So thanks for joining me on my tour of Halifax. Good time had by all speaks for itself.
Get it, man.
I was going to leave the podcast right there, but I'm going to add a little Fredericton addendum. Just got back to my hometown yesterday night. This is my first afternoon back. And I guess the first thing I notice is the sense of scale shift. When I first got back from Vancouver, everything in Fredericton seemed much, much smaller. And now that I'm back from New York, this place is like on the fucking head of a pin, man. I mean, we drove from downtown across the river back to the house. My ma picked me up, and teeny tiny. Man, driving that distance in Queens, well, I'd be so deep in Queens, you know, still, that I'd still be in the boondocks of Queens. It's little. It's fairly empty. Very empty. What am I saying? Just the place we stopped yesterday, Mama's Pub, used to have some of the best wings ever. And then slowly the recipe devolved through about three generational shifts. And now the whole location has moved. And they were really hot. I got the hottest hot wings. They burned the piss out of me, but they weren't delicious like they used to be. But just looking out the window, it's just a big parking lot. And then trees on the outside. And empty and no one. It's been nice though so far. I haven't really been feeling... Other times that I moved back to my hometown, it's kind of like a minorly existential crisis feeling. I feel much better about it right now, just sort of alright. But what got me to pull out the recorder, well, going through my mom's house as always, it's slowly also getting more and more organized, but she doesn't tend to throw away our old stuff. So it's amazing all the old weird crap you can find. I think maybe it's because she looks after Allie sometimes, my niece, so the house is a little bit more straightened up for that. I really feel my Canadian coming out more. House, have I said that already? Whatever, anyway. It's gonna come, I can't stop it. And I always meant to just walk around my mom's house and try to just chronicle all the stuff that's around, all the layers that are just like the layers of my childhood. Like how when I went to the Museum of the Moving Image in Astoria, what stood out for me most was the old Star Wars toys that I had in 1983 that I forgot that I had. It was like, oh shit, look at those. To me, that's a cultural experience. You can take your Jackson Pollock and stick it up your ass. I give a fuck. But I wasn't really sure how I should do that. Should I make a little video? Should I just record audio? Make it into a comic? I don't know. But instead of looking through my mom's house, instead, this is kind of like the same theory, but out in the world, out in the neighborhood. So my parents live in Devon. Not the best neighborhood in all of Fredericton, if you may recall from DNA's song about the North Side. For instance, I'm like two blocks from my house, and there's the North Star. That's the place that has strippers one night a week. Here's the Ultramar gas station where I almost took a job. Thank God I didn't. That would have sucked. Just down the little ways, there's the church I used to have to go to as a kid. And across the street, we got sort of the standard strip molly stuff. There's the Tim Hortons, which is where I'm heading. Liquor store, Dairy Queen that has the hot hoe trains. But right here where the grocery store used to be is a giant tiger. That is so weird, because it's this huge thrift department, you know, like Walmart, but for, like, combined with a dollar store. I don't know, it's like real low-end shit, but it's real cheap. And I'd always associated that with Ormuchto. Ormuchto's the little satellite town that's like 20 minutes outside of Fredericton. They have a giant tiger. I remember going there with my mom and with Allie and just, I don't know. It's so big and gaudy, and it's kind of weirdly fun. So I'm going to go hop in that there giant tiger and see if I can find anything hilarious. Oh, there's the credit union it used to be. I don't know what it is now, but it used to be like a little credit union that had fake cameras that weren't attached to anything. So being kind of weird teenagers that didn't really think things through, my friend Brad noticed that first, and he's like, hey, come on in, I'll show you the dumb fake cameras. So we went in and pointed at the cameras and had a laugh and then left. And a manager, because like they're just there for show. They're not connected to anything. Oh, there's the Bostonian. What's that called now? Used to be called the Bostonian. Is it just called Giant Pizza Slices now? Surely not. Anyway, it's a pretty good pizza place. My friend Terry used to work there. Jean Coutu, that's our version of Dwayne Reed. Shoppers Drug Mart. I remember the old tagline for Jean Coutu Pharmacy was, "Where you can find it all. Even a friend." Weirdo Frenchies. Oh, and there's a dollar store. I love dollar stores. Wow, between Giant Tiger and the dollar store, this is cheapo heaven. This is, even though this is only a little two-lane street, it is pretty busy. Gonna have to walk down to the lights. So after we go in and have a laugh at this fucking fake camera that's not attached to anything, there's the church. My church didn't even have a steeple, man. What kind of shit is that? I should go back to this church. Just record a show during church. Anyway, a manager came out and kind of trailed us across the parking lot. I'm like, boys, couldn't help you. No, couldn't help noticing you laughing at our fake cameras. So we're like, yeah, whatever, man. We're just laughing that your camera is not a real camera. And he's all, well, what do you intend to do with this information? I don't know. Maybe we're going to rob the credit union. Why don't you either relax or get a real fucking camera? Christ. You know what? I got to go to Timmy's first. I got to get a fucking... I realized I haven't had a Boston cream yet. Way, way, way better than the Dunkin' Donuts version. So yeah, I'll go hit Tim Hortons first. Fuel up a little. Then it's Giant Tiger time. You know, I have noticed a lot more smokers since I got back to Canada because we are ignorant savages. Here's a big billboard. A new generation of smoke-free babies. Secondhand smoke causes the same problems as direct smoking. Lung cancer, bronchitis, lung ailments, asthma, heart disease, cardiovascular disease, marriages and birth defects. I mean miscarriages and birth defects. I don't know that it causes marriages. St. Mary's, 2005, First Nation and Inuit Tobacco Control Strategy. Oh, and what do we got on the other side? First Nation and Inuit Tobacco Control Strategy, a new generation of smoke-free babies! Good luck with that. Not gonna happen. Not gonna happen, but it's a very nice billboard. It's a very nice sentiment of progress. The Dairy Queen's got, try the new Nut Fudge Waffle Ball. Blizzard of the month is Midnight Truffle. What? Smells kind of good in there, though. Try our new flamethrower chicken wrap. That does sound pretty fucking good. Gotta walk on by. Walk on by, dude. Walk on by. Man, I realized yesterday when I was going up to check my email and stuff on my dad's computer, that dude's got a mighty belly on him, and it's no accident, man. Holy shit, all just the junk that he's got up there. Gummy bears and a Tupperware container full of sour Skittles and shit. Sour Skittles are made by the devil, like, they're just, like, because you get that sourness, like, wah, and then the sweet, and it's, like, nature did not intend for refined sugar, probably, but especially not that shit. Just, like, makes your taste buds, like, light up. It's brutal. So bad for you. Much like that Boston cream donut I just ate. So there's a lady working in there named Ruby, who I remember because she used to run the laundromat by my parents' law office that I used to use. And she's, I remember she's been at this Tim Hortons last time I was here, so that's been some time. You know, she's been working here a couple of years. And she's fairly old. And I don't know, it just seemed kind of sad that she was all hanging out on her one side of the counter, while all the other little Tim Horton chicks were buzzing around at the other side. I don't think Ruby fits in. Fairly unhot bunch at the old Tim Hortons, I might add. Not that I expect anything different, just I just noticed that is all. And man, Tim Hortons, it's got some delectable delights that I forgot about. The fucking fruit explosion muffin. That's got to be about a 10 zillion calories. It's like a muffin with this like fruit filling stuff like in it. And the maple pecan Danish. Oh, here's something I wanted to talk about. So, I am a big proponent of living behind the curve, not blowing a whole ton of money on shit that you don't need. I was realizing that just unpacking my stuff yesterday. Like, I've got the Zoom recorder that I got from Keith and Hemda, which I just got through circumstance that they had one, and it's easier to do What is that word? Starts with B. When you don't buy things from each other, you exchange goods and services for other goods and services. Barter. To barter it. And that thing was a few hundred bucks new. But besides that, I mean, my computer's cheap. This camera I'm using is cheap. Everything is cheap. Cheap, 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 cheap. And it's all fine. I can still make fucking DVDs and do whatever the hell. So I was listening to a podcast. It's the 20th anniversary of the Nintendo Game Boy. And Nintendo kind of uses that philosophy as a company. Like the Nintendo Wii, for instance, is about on par with a GameCube. It's not really any more powerful than the last generation. At least not much. But they did something interesting with what they had, you know? That thing is like on track to possibly being the best-selling game system of all time. Kale's parents had one, for Christ's sake. We were in Halifax. We stopped at... We went to visit Kale's parents to have some supper, some chili. They had a Nintendo Wii. It's amazing. The way, I mean, video games just keep getting more complicated and more buttons, and they've lost everyone. They lost me, even. They've lost a lot of people. But the Wii has got everybody back. It's crazy. Meanwhile, the alternate theory of the PlayStation 3, give everybody as much power as possible at an exorbitant price, is doing terrible. It is losing hard. But the craziest, most ostentatious example of that has got to be the Game Boy. I didn't realize the full scope of it until I was listening to the show. Jeremy Parrish, the guy from 1UP, knows a lot of details about video games. The Game Boy came out in like 1988 or 89, was made with this chip called the Z80, I believe. Which, am I getting my chips confused? I think that's the same one that the Sega Master System was based around, and then the Sega Genesis used a Z80 just for its sound chip, which is what allowed the backward compatibility with the master converter thing, which I thought was cool. Anyway, this chip was fucking developed in 1974. So by the time the Game Boy came out, it was instant retro. I mean, I remember that. I had a Game Boy as a kid. I got it from my friend Ray, traded him some shit for it. That fucking green monochrome monitor, the Tetris and the fucking bullshit. Everybody knew that shit sucked right from the get-go. But my brother had a Game Gear and an Atari Lynx. And they were fucking nice. They were fucking cool little things. But they were just too bulky and they ate batteries too fast. The Game Boy was what needed to be. You know, it seems unfortunate they couldn't have made it a little better. But they didn't. And it sold so many copies. I'm sure right now, the winner for most consoles sold has got to be the Game Boy. It's got to be. That thing, well, they were talking about the Game Boy camera. Didn't come out till like 97? By 1997, the cocksucking Game Boy was still being sold. And it was a piece of shit to begin with, you know? But it was behind the curve, but they made do. They made do with what they had, and then as technology got a little better, it got a backlight, and then it ran on only two batteries, and then maybe only on one battery. And Nintendo kicked the entire world's ass. Use what's available, you know? Find ways to be creative around the slightly older stuff that is way, way cheaper. Way more accessible. Way more available. I like that. I think that's a nice... That's an apt metaphor. I even like how Stuff like when I used to do music, I used Impulse Tracker. It's an old tracker program that ran through DOS, and like that's it would be hard for me to even get that shit up and running again now. And I just remember at the time, it was like I was sort of trying to struggle to make it sound more legit, struggling to make it sound like a little more than what it was. But you give it a little time, now they have the Blip Festival. You know, they have whole festivals of people making chiptunes on fucking Game Boys and stuff, and like playing them on stage. It's a style. It's a retro style. Everything comes back around. Or with video games, side-scrollers and shit. Indie games are a big thing now. You just get one or two people making a little game, and then they can sell it for a smaller amount of money. Everything has its niche, you know? Pushing forward, just, it doesn't make sense. There's no need to be on this cutting edge. There's just, it's this weird lotto mentality people have where they just love to buy shit and they love to have the new stuff, and you don't need that shit. You do not need it. Do not need it. Just in my wander through the Giant Tiger, I think Ogdenville Outlet Mall would be my best description. Here now I'm out front, they just got some shit just set up outside. Famous brand jeans, assorted sizes, $7. Compare at $29.99. Men's pants, $7.97. Assorted t-shirts, $3. Variety of sizes, colors, and designs. Actually, I'd wear those shirts. This one looks so bad. Oh, anybody miss HD DVD? You may remember it was HD DVD versus, what's the other one called? Blu-ray. Who's going to win the format war? Sony with their Blu-ray? Or whoever the fuck who had HD DVD. Basically, HD DVD didn't hold quite as much as a Blu-ray, but you can manufacture it with the same old manufacturing facilities that made DVDs. So these were actually in their HD DVD / DVD combo discs. You know, they had on both sides. Each side had a different style format. So if you're missing your HD DVD, I believe Xbox 360 plays that shit. It lost the format war. They don't make that shit no more. It is done. But if you want to get Slither on HD DVD, it's in there for $6. Slither was a really good movie. All right, I think that's enough rambling. This episode is now officially done. Okay, one more thing. I just stopped in to get a piece of pizza. New England pizza. That's what it's called now. Not as good as I remembered. In fact, quite terrible. It is approximately the same pizza, but blah, blah, blah. I'll give New York credit for that. That is pretty good pizza, by and large. Not so much in Manhattan, maybe. You kind of get random, gross crap, but there was this place by my house called Phil's in Queens. Had this one slice I would always get if they had it ready. It was like chunks of chicken with tomato. Chunks. Chicken and tomato. Oh man, so fucking good. And New York does do the thing where, you know, they heat up your pizza individually right there, each slice, not heat lamp shit. But yeah, no, this pizza, quite horrifyingly fucking plasticky. But two things I've noticed. First off, Fredericton is a little more ethnically diverse than I remember, so that's nice. I've seen an Asian guy and a Pakistani guy. And a black girl. It's like, hey, look at us. Look at us with our non-white people. But I also noticed in that pizza place, I don't know. I mean, I guess it was always this hillbilly around here. Maybe I just didn't realize it. Maybe it's because I'm on the north side. I don't know. But, I mean, if you overhear the hipster kids talking in fucking New York, and when I say kids, a hipster kid can be anywhere from 20 to 39 years old. They have ludicrous conversations. It's like absurd. Just the dumbest fucking nonsense. But these folk around here, man, they're dirty hicks. They're total hicks. Oh shit, there's some snow. There's some snow in the shadow of someone's house. That's not cool. Just a little bit, but yeah, oh man, just so hillbilly, man. I'm gonna pull the snotty card on this shit. Fucking ridiculous. And then in that pizza place, they're having a raffle. For every $5 purchase, you get a ticket. So you can win a Harley Davidson motorcycle. I'm gonna drive my Harley Davidson that I won at the pizza place. And it was sitting out front so you could see it and you can covet it and you can be like, oh man, be so sweet. Be so sweet to sit on that Harley and gun her up and God, I gotta buy some pizza. Whoa, shit. I fucking hope I win that thing, man.
Driving with the yellow dog, I-95's got a smile on his face and big shiny eyes. Up at a decent hour, never ate yet. Got a little Johnny Cash in the old tape deck. Nothing in the trunk but some baseball gloves. Pair of jumper cables and a set of golf clubs. Blanket on the back seat, we're in rough shape. Sunroof held on with a bit of duct tape. Looking for a gas station, better make a list. Fill her up with regular, I need to take a piss. Sexy girl air freshener, stacks in a pinwheel. Top up the fluids, clean the bugs off the windshield. Not a care in the world, not a how and a why. No destination, not a cloud in the sky. Back on the road, not a moment too soon. Dish ran away with some other spoon. Wicked and weird, I'm a road hog with an old dog singing soul songs, trying to hold on. Wicked and weird, I'm a rat fish trying to practice doing backflips on your mattress. Wicked and weird, I'm a road hog with an old dog singing soul songs, trying to hold on. Wicked and weird, I'm a rat fish trying to practice doing backflips on your mattress. Hole in the muffler, ghost on the shoulder, cough drops, loose change in the beverage holder. To roll down the window, you gotta use a wrench. Been thinking about brushing up on my French. Right there in the glove box, if you should look, you'll find 40 parking tickets and a copy of the good book. Don't bother looking, you'll never find me. I'm starting from scratch and leaving trouble behind me. Wicked and weird, I'm a road hog with an old dog singing slow songs trying to hold on. Wicked and weird, I'm a rat fish trying to practice doing backflips on your mattress. Wicked and weird, I'm a road hog with an old dog singing slow songs trying to hold on. Wicked and weird, I'm a rat fish trying to practice doing backflips on your mattress.
Let me tell you what Uncle Neil did last night.
What?
I went downstairs to get a glass of milk, and he was also down there. So I get the milk out of the fridge and pour a glass of milk and went to put the milk back. And then when I came back, he drank my milk because he forgot that he didn't pour it. He thought it was his own milk. Yeah, I just think that's funny. He's like, oh, sorry, was that your milk? I was like, I just poured it right in front of you. Yeah, he's forgetful sometimes. So we just saw your dance class.
Yeah.
So you said you started after your last birthday? Yeah. And it's almost your birthday again? So that's like a whole year.
I think you started in the fall, in September. Yeah, when you went to live with Grammy and Grampy.
Yeah.
Yeah, last August.
And remember I was in your garage at your work?
For your birthday, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes, you were. We had a garage party. It was cold that day, too, wasn't it?
Yeah. What? And then we went back home because I wasn't feeling good.
That's right. You weren't feeling good. And Mommy was there, Daddy.
Yep.
George Clements and Art.
Yep.
Meet Neil and I, right?
Yep.
But you went home. Now, Keith, what are you going to have for a party this year?
Princess party.
Oh, yeah? You do like princesses, don't you?
Well, I only like them a little bit now. I like Hannah Montana better now.
Oh,
yeah?
Do you?
Yep.
What day is your birthday?
May the 12th.
Oh, May 12th. Cool.
You didn't remember?
No, I'm sorry. You don't know my birthday, though, either, right? Yeah, it's September 18th. I don't remember Aunt Barb's birthday. I don't remember my brother's birthday. I don't remember your dad's birthday. I forget every birthday. I don't know any of them. So, I'm trying to remember what... You probably don't watch any of the old shows that we used to watch, right? Blue's Clues and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah? Are they too little now?
Yeah.
See, I liked it. I miss Blue's Clues. I thought it was fun.
Well, I still like Blue's Clues, but... I just don't watch it.
Yeah. It's hard to find in Canada. You need to get it on, like, DVD.
Well, Tara has a movie, but I just don't watch it.
Yeah. I think that's also when you get older, yeah, you want to watch more different stuff. It's easy when you're little to just watch the same thing over and over.
Those were my favorite movies when I was little.
Yeah.
Shit.
What?
I'm trying to get around this guy on this motorcycle. Holy frick, he's slow. There, get around him. Sorry, I should have been more there, but...
Did you know Aunt Barb can't see in one of her eyes? It's true.
Can what?
I was telling her how you can't see out of one of your eyes.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's why she has a hard time driving. See, the way I found out, I didn't know that Aunt Barb only could see from one eye, but we went to Disneyland when I was little, and we saw a 3D movie, and she couldn't see the 3D, because you need two eyes for 3D.
I don't see 3D very well.
Yeah, it was too bad, because it was really cool.
But I'm almost ready to go to Disneyland when I'm 5, I think I'm old enough to go.
Yeah, you have to find somebody who's got lots of money who'll take you.
Yeah, it's expensive.
Very expensive.
But it is fun. So, we're going to your house.
Yep.
I've never been to this house.
To my house?
Yeah.
It's white with a white car. And I have a...
What is it?
What's on my wall again?
A
princess?
Mural.
No. Flowers.
Flowers, yes. It's a wall mural that Grammy painted.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. She's really, Grammy's quite the artist.
Grammy and Grampy did.
I saw a picture that you drew that Aunt Barb has. It was, what was it? It was Jesus and he was teaching a mouse. Do you remember this drawing?
A rabbit.
Yeah. And a rabbit.
And a cat.
Yeah.
And a cat and a dog.
Yeah, it was really good. Aunt Barb showed me.
It was funny. That was me. That's what I made. It was in my cubby's book. I thought you were coming home at winter time.
No, I decided to come summer because I don't like winter. So I want to come back when it's warm. And, you know, at least get some warmth first. But yeah, I didn't really have a very good plan. It's just like, come home whenever I came home. But when I was out there, I did lots of stuff. It was fun. Lots of adventures. But it's such a big city. It's crazy. There's so many people there.
This flower doesn't smell very good.
Well, it's a dandelion, right?
Yeah.
Those are pretty easy to find.
Yeah. They're big. But white flowers in the snow, they're hard to find.
Are there white flowers?
Because there's snow is white and the white flowers are white and they're really hard to find.
Yeah.
In the snow. This is where I got all my needles.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there must be a medical center in there.
No, public health.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
Just a different name.
This is soft.
Yeah, it's nice, right? It's so if it's windy, it still works okay.
Yeah.
But you can take it off. Just, like, pull that thing.
Yeah. It's hard.
There. See, there's the little microphone.
Yeah.
So it's really just, that's just for the wind. But it works good. I like this. It's fun. I like walking around just recording stuff.
it's hard to get back on.
Yeah.
I got back on. This is close to Grammy's work. We just passed Grammy's work.
Nice.
That's where some horses. Horses are. Horses in that house back there.
Cool. This is kind of nice out here. I like this. Lots of trees and stuff.
But they're building a new house there, back there.
Oh, yeah? I always like old houses better. I think I'm just used to them. I like old, messy houses.
I like old, clean houses.
Yeah?
Ours is a little bit clean, but a little bit dirty. Because we started it this morning.
Oh, just started cleaning up this morning?
Yeah.